Hey, what's up, you all? Welcome to another episode of Men Thrive. I'm Jeff Johnson. I'm so glad to be with you. This week is a special one. It is Father's Day. And while we joke a lot about fathers not getting a great rap, having less commercials on TV, and the gifts aren't as spectacular, and the sales are fewer, and the fanfare is less than it is for Mother's Day, it remains a special day for a whole lot of us for a number of reasons. Even as we think about this notion in the Black community in particular about this pervasive narrative that dads aren't around and they're unavailable, many of us have a contrary reality. We have fathers that are in our lives, even in their imperfection. We know men who are taking care of their kids in a real way. And it doesn't remove or alleviate the fact that there are brothers who, for whatever reason, can't get it together, or brothers who choose not to get it together. It does not in any way, shape, or form remove the fact that there's a whole lot of brothers getting it as right as they know how to and are committed to growth on a level that in many cases we've never seen before. There are brothers all over this world that have decided that whatever my father was or my father wasn't, I am going to be freaking amazing, even in my imperfection. And so what I am most thrilled about today is in this fatherhood special, we have the ability to introduce you to a number of brothers who fit that description. None of them would tell you they're perfect. Most of them would probably tell you that they want to be better. But in the midst of all of that, they are committed to showing up in a real way. And so this is our special Jernesy edition. What's a Jernesy? Jernesy is that unbelievably unique and nuanced journey on the way to fathers building legacy for their children. In other words, it's a journey and a legacy put together. That unbelievably unique journey that every father is on, as nuanced as it can be, towards developing legacy for their children. And we've got a powerhouse group, some brothers you know, some brothers you don't know. So I am incredibly overwhelmed to have the opportunity to introduce to some, present to others, and uncover new sides of, for some of you, some great men. And so we got my man Black Ice. He is the Tony Peabody and six-time HBO Emmy Award-winning poet. We also have joining us Shaka Singor. Shaka is, in his own words, a storyteller, a lover of words, painting an unforgettable picture with each story, his story. He is a writer. He is a producer. He is a lecturer. He is a servant of humanity. And even more than that, he is my friend. Also, we have my friend Bakari Sellers. Many of you know that he was the youngest African-American elected official in the country at the age of 22 when he went into the state house in South Carolina. But he is an attorney, a political commentator, but more than that, he is an author, just finishing his book, My Vanishing Country, a memoir. We are excited to hear him talk about his unique story of fatherhood. We also have my man, Mac Wilds. Some of you know him as Tristan. Some of you know him from The Wire. You know him from Shots Fired. You know him from 90210. You know him from his record. You know him because he just became a daddy. And we're excited to talk to him about just the beginning of his journey. I have one of my dearest friends, Sean Tucker, who's a government relations specialist out of Columbus, Ohio, and is, in my opinion, one of the most inspiring fathers that I have personally known. And last but not least, we have the king of fatherhood, Belief in Fatherhood, who is a YouTube sensation. He is an author. He is an MC, but he's a daddy of four. And more than that, he is a transparent brother who is working in every way he can to prove that great fathers are made one day at a time. So we got a crazy show for you, and I am excited. I say that a lot, don't I? I say that I'm excited all the time because I am. Because I'm excited about the fact that we have amazing brothers that come to talk about who they are, what they do, and how they do it. And they don't come to talk about a record release or a movie, which is great. But when was the last time we had a podcast that was specifically dedicated just to hear the voices of Black men and how they show up in their own lives whole? so that we can attempt to help other brothers show up whole, operate in joy, and live with power. So we're going to start off the show talking with my man, Black Ice. Black really began to go into his relationship with his father and how his relationship with his father impacted how he would father.
To grow up and watch my father become a son and be a son around my grandfather, I think was one of the most important things that I could have been shown was the reverence that my father and my uncles held for their father, you know, and their interaction and watching my dad, like I said, be dad. But then when he got around Clarence Sr.,
he was a son.
He was a son, you know, and
that's crazy. That's crazy.
You know, like, and my son now says, wow, Pop, when we get around Grandpa, you just like his, you become his. I said, I'm always his son, man.
I just realized though, brother, that I was denied that. My father and his brothers and sisters were all born in Columbus, Georgia. And so my grandmother and grandfather moved up to Cleveland when the Ford plants opened. And he was a mechanic, but in his 50s, he went blind. And he at that point in time went through depression and committed suicide. And so from seven on, I never was in a place where I got to see my dad be a son or my uncles be sons. And my mother's father, this dude on the flip side, he was a major in the U.S. Army in the 1940s in Germany. So my grandmother was born in Germany. So imagine, you know, an African-American being a major in the U.S. Army in 1943. My grandparents were primarily around white people. They were primarily around other white officers, and it was horrible for them. Mm-hmm. But again, I never got to see my mother be a daughter. And so, like, I never thought about that until you just said it. And my father moved in with us, with my wife and I, when he was on the final stages of his cancer. He lived with us for 2 years. And to think now about my kids to be able to see me be a son had to be an incredible blessing, man. And I'm so glad you shared that, because, like, that's literally, I just had a revelation. Like, that is revelatory for me, because on both sides of my family, I got to see my dad be a son with his mother, but that was different. It wasn't the same. And there was a reverence, and there was, this is my mother and I respect her, but I did not get to see that through the lens of man to man. And the reverence that I anticipate he would have shown Johnny B. Johnson Sr., especially when he was Johnny B. Johnson Jr. Yo, I wasn't even totally ready for that. I don't know that I had ever thought about fatherhood, learning, watching my dad be a son, because I didn't have that opportunity to watch him be a son with his father, as my grandfather was gone from me as early as 7 years old. Thank you, Black, for that. I really appreciate that. Up next is my brother, Shaka Singor. Many of you heard his podcast. He was the first brother, actually, that came on Men Thrive. And we talked a little bit about this notion of never being allowed to be a child. And it's so interesting because, honestly, watching Shaka and his son, Sekou, give me life. It wouldn't even matter if Shaka had not gone through all the trauma that he'd gone through. I'm just filled when I see Black men filled with joy, and as a result, their sons filled with joy and not afraid of it.
I think of it through the lens of a father. You know, I had this experience with my family where one day we were at my aunt's, and there was a few of my aunts and uncles around, and they were watching my son play And, you know, that they just kept saying, man, he just reminded me so much of you. And, you know, his just this energy and things like that. And first it was flattering. And then I found myself so angry because I was like, if that's who I was, why didn't you protect me? You know, why was it okay for my mother to do the things that she did and you were knowingly bearing witness to this and you didn't step in to safeguard me from what was happening? And I realized that that was part of the cycle, is that we don't protect, you know, little black kids, black boys specifically. And in order to disrupt that pattern, like, I had to get in touch with the little boy that I was.
Absolutely.
So I had to think about, you know, as a father, what did I really need? And what did, not only what did I need, but what did I want, you know? And, you know, now today, you know, my son will come up and randomly, and he wants a hug. And, you know, and sometimes he just wants to cuddle on a couch and relax because he's literally a little boy and making sure that I'm creating space for that. The thought evolved, man, has been super important to me. And when I mean thought evolved, I mean in the most holistic way, being able to, you know, just had those mental check-ins where it's like, okay, am I living in my divine purpose? Are the things that I'm doing today serving not only my personal growth and development, but creating space for my son to evolve to the fullness of his being as a young man? You know, my son's 8 years old, and it's really important to me to be aligned with that inner purpose in a way that is organically transferred to him and to the other young men and women that I mentor throughout the country.
Yo, it's such a profound conversation with Shaka, because now more than ever, we as men need to be thinking about how we're providing protection in our communities. And so I so appreciate Shaka not only raising this notion that we need to allow our boys to be little boys, but also who was protecting him. And so as men, how are we processing how we're protecting each other, our community, our families? And that may seem like a strange segue, but I think it's a perfect segue into our next conversation about where we as brothers show up in delivery. So my brother Mac Wilds and Bakari Sellers, both in their own way, talk about how they showed up in the birthing process. And if there is any place that's not really about protection, but it's about togetherness, it's that birthing moment. I was blessed enough to have home births with my last two children and recognize how I did well in those home births and how I did terrible in my home births. And the fact that we were birthing a child, but she was delivering. And so, brothers, how do we show up in the birthing process? Really was enlightened by both Bakari and Mac Wild's take on this.
Let's go there for a minute, man, because, like, you a whole dad, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And a new dad. And so I feel you in a lot of ways. I want to get to like what this period has been about. But tell me, because I think there's a lot of brothers that feel like fatherhood starts the moment your baby is born.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious for you, like, when did fatherhood start for you? When for you was it totally real and you dove into it in a way that it was like, yo, I am now Tristan Naomi Wilde's daddy?
It was when they told us it was a girl. Mind you, we've been to the doctor, you know, we've heard the heartbeat, the whole nine. And I don't think I think both of us were nervous going into the first couple of months because we lost the baby the first go around. So going back into it, we were just like, listen, we're just going to pray. You know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, but we're just going to pray. But after we finished that first 3 month hump, and they were like, mind you, this is even a funny story. The nurse came in. We kept on saying, we don't want to know. We don't want to know what the baby is going to be. We want to be surprised. We want to be surprised when she comes out. And the nurse came in and she said, "Oh my God, so how is she?" Like, well, all right.
There's the surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what did that do to you in that moment?
Man, I think it was at that moment that everything kind of became real. Like, it was like, you know, again, I'm sitting where, and I'm in every doctor's appointment. I'm hearing every heartbeat. I'm, you know, making sure that she's eating the way she's supposed to be eating, the whole nine. But it didn't fully register, like, yo, you're a father now. Like, it is official. Until that lady was like, yo, it's a girl. Like, congratulations.
How would you advise brothers who are expecting dads to play a role in the birthing process and in the preparation of supporting a partner to bring forth life?
Know that life is very fragile and it can change very quickly. And we have to be there every moment, because one, you don't want it to change when you're not there. And two, you have to be prepared to be her number one advocate.
What is the single thing you enjoy most about being dad?
My favorite part is the snuggles. We're a big snuggling family. Yeah. And I whisper in my kids' ear all the time, just letting them know how beautiful they are and how strong they are, just so that they will maybe remember those words often. But the snuggles and the kisses, we kiss each other on the nose. That's our little thing. That's the best part of my day.
What a profound set of reflections by Bakari. And I think it makes so much sense when we think about this issue of our children and mortality, because we never think about our babies leaving. And so realizing the importance of their hug and their embrace and their warmth is so critical. And so I wanted to come back to Black Ice to talk a little bit about just how we view this moment of evolution, where we as Black men are attempting to be what our fathers were incapable of being. And without judgment, recognizing that this evolving dad is a real thing, the question is, how do we figure out how to do it?
Yeah, I'm the best dad I ever been.
Oh, listen, man, I have to say to my older kids, like, don't be mad at your brothers.
Don't
be mad at your brothers. It's not their fault. I'm like, y'all helped make me better. I wasn't shit when y'all was born. I'm just glad we survived and y'all made it.
My daughter, my son be like, you soft. You done got soft, you know. I said, no, I done got wise. I'm like, yeah, because you used to go in our mouth. I'm like, yeah, because I was 23, 25. I was, you know, it was, you know, now at 40, at, you know, having a child at 46.
Yep.
You know, now I'm 48, you know, having these new babies. One, you understand parenthood, and you understand that children give birth to parents,
dude,
not the other
listen.
Way around.
Well, when you write, that's the case. All right. And speaking of getting it right, you know, we haven't heard from any brothers who are in a hardcore co-parenting relationship, or in many cases, raising their kids on their own. And there are a ton of dads that are single dads or co-parenting dads where it's their house and they're trying to figure out what is the proper way to raise sons and daughters, either all the way by themselves or in their own home where they're co-parenting with someone who is in another house. And so when I thought about who I could talk to, I wanted to talk to this brother. I've known him for over 20 years. I've seen him evolve as a dad. But he was one of the dads who I most respected, because no matter what job he had, no matter where he was working, no matter how he was working, no matter how imperfect he knew he was, and no matter how imperfect somebody else was telling him he was, he knew that the most important thing to him was being daddy. And so I wanted to bring him in on this conversation, one of my dearest friends, Sean Tucker. And so, Sean, let me ask you this, man. What is been the most difficult reality of, you know, you initially were in a co-parenting relationship, raising a daughter. And so what was the most difficult reality of being you and your daughter at home by yourself when she says, "Daddy, what about this?"
I think some of the biggest challenges is just really raising a daughter. You know, she's going to have her wants as a young woman, you know, because we all think of back to the episode, or not episode, but the movie Bad Boys, where, you know, you had Martin Lawrence and Will Smith, and, you know, they had the gun on the porch. You want to protect your daughter from you know, boys, or protect them from boys, but you're not really doing that. So you have to realize that daughters are going to want to date. Daughters are going to want to drive. Right now I'm dealing with that. My daughter's getting her driver's license, so she's going through driver's ed. So just really being patient with her, and making sure that she's not afraid of, the road. I took her nighttime driving just two nights ago and giving her the confidence that she, that she'll be able to use, because that's a dangerous proposition, a 16-year-old behind the wheel of a car. And so I think one of the challenges is just making sure that I, instill in her that level of confidence and support. Tough love, but mainly love, because what happens is that, and maybe this is a guilt thing from my end, but she's going between two different households. And so making sure that I reassure her that I do love her. And again, maybe this is guilt on my part, not being extra harsh, because like, well, damn, every time I go to my dad's house, I'm on punishment, you know? And so that's tough. And so just making sure that I do show her tough love, but also reassuring her that I do love her. Every single time, and whether we're on the phone or whether she's leaving to go back over, mom says, "Hey, I love you."
One more question is, what would be three things that you would recommend to brothers as they think about this notion of either parenting by themselves or co-parenting, that you wish somebody would have given you before you had to figure out how to do it?
No, absolutely. I think that the first thing I probably would give to them is that healthiness matters. And what I mean by that is that if you're debating whether you should end a relationship, whether it be divorce, or you guys are just co-parenting because you've been together, but not necessarily legally married, happiness matters, because what that means is that, if you're happy, then that's going to translate into a healthier relationship with your child. And so if you're in a, you know, jacked up marriage or jacked up situation and you're always beefing, then, you know, that kid is going to pick up on that emotion. They may go to school angry or whatever the case may be. And so I think just being healthy is the first piece, man, because that does rub off on a kid. I think, as you said, just presence, man. We just touched on that piece, but I even have to check myself now when I'm on my phone, checking emails for work or whatever the case may be, is that, man, that time that you have with your kid, you're not going to get back again. So understanding work calls, but make sure you maybe even set a schedule. Hey, listen, daddy going to check emails or be on conference calls between 10 and 12. All right. Between 12 and 3, that's our time. I'm putting down my phone. We're going to go to the park. We're going to shoot some hoops. We're going to do whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they have that expectation, knowing that, hey, I look forward to 3 o'clock. All right, Dad, you say you're done with your emails. Because presence does matter, Jeff, because they're like, well, you know what? He's on the phone, or he's checking email. I'm about to act out to get his attention. Mm-hmm. And then you might have a jacked up conference call because, you know, he or she is coming in between your calls, yelling or acting out or whatever the case may be. So it's just not a good piece,
or
man.
Or your baby start to resent your work.
Right. No, seriously. And they hate everything about your work. Well, every time that my daddy here, he working. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that you can't work. It's just setting those expectations that, listen, I'm going to work between this time and this time. But at this time, this is what we're going to do. And nothing else matters at that time. So setting that expectation and being present in that moment. It's a thing. It's like mindfulness, man. You know, you say, you know, being present, being in a moment. You want to be present. You want to be in that moment with your kid. It's no different than anything else. If you're working on a work project, you're not trying to, you know, you're going to devote your attention to that. So why is it different with your kid? So I just wish that I would have learned that, or somebody would share that with me, because I'm sure that I've screwed up when it came to that. And again, this is just learning and evolving.
Listen, you all, Sean said something incredibly important, and that was that he was learning from his daughter. And in learning from his daughter, that put him in a place that he was growing. And so my man Belief, who is just killing it as it relates to exposing us to the conversations and the relationship and interactions that he's having with his children, is of the same vein. And so he and I had the chance to talk about not only the things that he is walking through on his journey, but how he learned to just say, I'm sorry to his kids, when prior to that, that would have never happened to him when he was their age. Take a listen.
As a stay-at-home parent, there's a time where you're just not doing well and you need to vent and you need a break. But I don't really, as a man, I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to self-care. So when I would say, hey, I'm not doing well, I would be looking in the mirror with my kids on the outside of the door, knocking on the door, and I'm crying because I can't take the emotional, it's like emotional exhaustion. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're tired physically, you can deal with that. You can take a nap. You know what I'm saying? When you're tired mentally, you probably just need to take a nap. When someone is crying on you all day, and over is just poop and feed me, and I'm crying again and I'm tired, but I don't want to go to sleep. And then you just get a moment to sit down and you're just like, yo, I haven't eaten or bathed in like 2 days. You know what I'm saying? And I try to tell my wife, hey, I'm not doing well. And she can't hear me because she's thinking about her career and the things she has to do to keep things spinning. So I had to suffer in silence. And that is not, I'm not giving myself credit there. That was very detrimental for our relationship. And it's only something I learned because of my upbringing and being abused as a child, that I had to suffer in silence. I'm a better sufferer than her. So I was quiet and I seemed like I was okay, except for the one or two times I would say, hey, I'm not doing well. And when I wasn't doing well, I really wasn't doing well. You know what I'm saying? So it was like this transfer of leadership where I was saying, go ahead, you take the burden of the money and I'll take care of home. But I didn't know how to take care of myself, which was very difficult.
As you operate now on a daily basis, whether it's with a COVID reality or not, what do you feel like you do as dad that's most valuable to your babies?
Yeah, it's definitely has to be like apologizing. You know what I'm saying? Like admitting like that I'm wrong.
Transparency.
And telling them that I'm sorry. And that I would try not to do what I did. You know, even when because I had told you we were talking, Theo and I, and you know, he kind of closed up when I came in the room, you know what I mean? Because he didn't want to be on camera or whatever. We talked since then, and I had to apologize to him for that. You know what I mean? And it just wasn't like, it wasn't like sorry, but, or when you do this, it makes me feel, you know what I'm saying? It just was like, man, I messed up. I'm sorry. You never have to be put in that position again. I will ask you before I film anything, and you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. You know what I'm saying? And his response is that I really like being on camera. I just didn't know that I didn't want to cry on camera. I didn't know I could cry on camera. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it is easier for him to talk to his mother than it is to talk to me. So I'm like, okay, am I okay with this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I always thought I would be the dad who was like, yeah, you gonna talk to me about everything because I don't feel like I could talk to my dad. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, how do I filter through this and how do I gain trust back? And so apologies, for sure, is the thing that they respond to most because it shows them that they can be wrong and it be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I just think so many kids have never heard their parents say, I'm sorry, or apologize, and it's affected them in ways where they can't apologize as grown people.
So what a collection of conversations and stories, transparent moments and reflections. And we're only just scratching the surface. When we think about the true complexity of what fatherhood means in this moment, we would need to do an entire podcast just on fathers to be able to dive two levels deeper than we did today, let alone fully understand the complexity of men in fatherhood positions, whether they're fathers to be or fathers or surrogate fathers or stepfathers or bonus fathers or grandfathers or great grandfathers or brothers just standing in the gap because it ain't no father. We got to do a better job of lifting the complexity of men as it relates to fathering if we're ever going to truly understand not only where we've been, but where we currently are. And as I think about my own fatherhood journey, fatherhood is the thing that I've failed at the most. It's also the thing that has brought me the most joy. And as I think about just a couple of things to leave you with, I would say, number one, recognize that that we have to be committed to creating a tribe of dads. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is that this is the hardest job we'll ever do that there's no handbook for. And because men in particular talk so much less than women, there, in my opinion, are fewer books even available or resources available that really dives into it. Don't get me wrong. There's a bunch of brothers out there of all races, frankly, that have talked about fatherhood. But it lacks, in my opinion, a level of depth that I think really helps many men see themselves in that content. And so my recommendation is, how do we build dad tribes where you, one, identify brothers who you see are doing it in a way that you want to get to? They're those aspirational dads. No, again, they're not perfect. They don't do everything right. They haven't perfected everything. But damn it, they are at a level that you hope to be at in short order. And whether you have direct access to them, where you can ask them questions, or whether they are a step away, you have the ability to pull them into an ecosystem where you're reading what they're writing or asking them questions or being unafraid to tell them the things that you haven't gotten right and ask them how they've gotten them right. You're building dad tribes of contemporaries, brothers who are in similar places that you are, that are dealing with similar challenges, whether that's co-parenting or whether that's how am I building a financial nest egg for my kids, or whether that's just figuring out how to be more present and emotionally available. Whatever it is, that's the core of the tribe, right? Because these are brothers that we are accountability partners with. We tell each other what we're working on. We talk to each other about what we're building. We talk about what our weaknesses are and the not only the tools, but the commitments that we're making to get better in those areas, so that on a weekly basis or a monthly basis that we're talking to them and they're bringing back up, yo, bro, remember that thing you said that you were going to focus on this month? Well, where are you at on it? Well, what was that thing that you were supposed to do? Or have you gotten better with this? Or have you had conversation with Shorty? Or did you have a conversation with your wife about this? Or have you talked to your ex-wife about so-and-so? I mean, these are the accountability conversations that require three things. One, are we honest about where we're not, where we want to be, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, the time frame with which we're going to do it in? Again, are we honest about what we're not doing well, what we want to do, how we want to do it, what we need to do, and the time frame in which we want to do it? Because if we are, then our brothers can help keep us accountable. If we're not honest about those things, then brothers are just here to support. And support doesn't translate into accountability all the time because there's no specifics. The other part of a tribe is, how do we get together? How do we get together with our children? How do we get together alone? And in this world, for some of us, that still means virtually. It doesn't matter. If we can create community, then we can create strength. Because what that means is we're never alone on this road. And this road is an incredible one that requires a community. And last but not least, are we mentoring? Who are the younger brothers, the fathers that aren't where we are, who want to be where we are, that we can have conversations with? Because what I have learned and loved in my mentoring relationships is that I learn as much, if not more sometimes, from the brothers that I'm mentoring as they do from me. What I've also learned is that co-parenting is a hard-ass job. And Sean talked about it a little bit, but I will say this is the thing that I probably failed at the most. Because when I was coming, I was a young dad. I was 26 years old. I was a young husband. I didn't really know how to be a husband. It wasn't something that I was great at. And if I were to be honest, I don't know if I should have gotten married at that time. And there were times when I thought to myself, well, maybe I got married to the wrong person at the wrong time. But I'll be very honest. You know, most of the time, it's about us. And I can think of things that I think my ex-wife should have done and shouldn't have done and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in real talk, brothers, it doesn't even matter, because if I was in a place where I had done everything right, and if I was in a place where I had been honest and courageous and forthright and walked in a level of character, then maybe I could spend a bunch of time talking about what she did or didn't do. But I didn't. And because I didn't, I don't know what the relationship would have been like if I would have been what I wanted to see in the relationship. Perhaps she would have been able to respond differently. Perhaps she would have grown differently. Perhaps she could have responded to me differently. We will never know, because I didn't do. And so I think part of co-parenting is, whether you are married and you are in an incredible marriage, whether you are married and it's a hell of a lot of work that needs to be done, whether you are divorced, whether you were never married, I think that there are three things in a co-parenting scenario that are crucial. Number one is absolute, total, and complete courageousness. And what does that mean? What that means is, whether it is me being honest about what I'm not, where the finances aren't, where I am in the relationship with that person that I'm co-parenting with, I got to be courageous enough to say all the things I know that person does not want to hear. Because if I'm not, then I'm not creating a healthy environment for our baby, because it's rooted in dishonesty and being a coward. And there's no strength in that for anybody when we don't lead with courageousness. Courageousness requires that we're willing to do the things that hurt at the most inconvenient times. It means that we're willing to say the things that we don't even want to hear out loud, let alone have the other person that we're with process. It means that we will show up in places that diminish our ego, not in the name of us being right, but in the name of us being understood, and in the name of us creating an environment that's best for our baby. It means that we will be incredibly open to hearing things that we don't think make sense, because we recognize that everything we think makes sense don't make no damn sense. Courageousness, I think, is one of the most underrated aspects of co-parenting, and the most important aspect that we have to have if we're going to create relationships that aren't based on us, but are based on our babies. The second thing is, it's got to be based on our babies and not based on us. And that takes another level, not only of courageousness, but intentionality. How do we ensure that every conversation we have with our ex-wives, with our ex-partners, with this person who we had a one-night stand with, I mean, like, whatever the scenario is, how do we have conversations with them rooted in our children? And so every conversation should one, start with how that other person is doing. Where are they? Are they okay? And it doesn't mean that we become best friends, and hopefully that's the case. But even if we're not, that we're rooting the relationship in a level of courtesy and respect and humanity. That means when we're having conversations with our children, it's not a chore, because even if we don't totally like the person, that we see the humanity in them enough. And I already hear some brothers like, yo, Jeff, that can't happen. I feel you. I realize that there's some really unreasonable people out here. I realize that in some cases, their unreasonableness is related to what we did or didn't do in a relationship. But that doesn't change the possibility of the thing. And if we would be willing to show up in that way with a level of humanity, then it makes it more difficult for them not to. And that doesn't mean it's not, damn it. You see me stuttering over here. That's why courageousness matters first, because sometimes it's the courageousness that allows us to show up with our kid being first. And our kid being first means understanding that if we have the ability to affirm our children's mothers, then our children have the ability to understand how important the relationship that we're in is. And so my hope is that we would be able to lead with our babies in building this ecosystem, because that actually helps us create a better relationship as we co-parent. Leading with our children is also about making sure that the things we want to do are rooted in their best interest. And when we ask ourselves about the job we're getting ready to take, or the trip we're going on, or the money that we're about to spend, can it directly or at least secondarily be connected to that being in the best interest of our children? And if it can't be, then be honest about the fact that, yo, this is for me, and be able to communicate that to the co-parent so that they know that you're not trying to spin this in some kind of way that this is for the child when it's not. And again, that's about making sure that we're extremely honest. And last but not least, can we get to a place where we ask each other what we believe and what we think before we get there? And so while we may disagree on a lot, can we have conversations about education, about finance, about college, about extracurriculars, about who we want our children to become? Because so many of us are parenting with different priorities. I want my kid to be a basketball player that goes to the NBA and makes $1 million. And the other person wants their child to be a scientist who goes to college and becomes a PhD. And you know, there's these missed opportunities to recognize that what is our child meant to be? And where are we seeing at my house them do incredible things in this area, where at your house, they're not doing that because there's no opportunity to, but they're doing some incredible things over here. When we have those conversations and talk about what our babies have the potential of becoming, and how at both houses can we be committed to them becoming their best self, woo-wee, we can do some incredible things. And I'm only able to share these things with you because I did them terribly. I was terribly selfish. I was a coward. I wasn't willing to have certain conversations. I allowed my anger to lead my relationship with my ex-wife and my child's mother. And in many cases, that was such a detriment to their development. And while I have attempted to mitigate a lot of those mistakes, damn how it could have been so much easier if I would have done it another way. And so my hope is that in co-parenting, we would be willing to be courageous. We would be willing to show up in a way that puts our children first, and that we would believe that creating a village is the goal. And by that, I mean, we may not ever be best friends. We may not hang out all the time. We may not be a picture of the fantasy in some cases that we wanted prior to the reality of what we weren't. But man, if our goal is those things, imagine what we could work towards: the safety of the ecosystem for our children, the reduction of anxiety that they feel in being dropped off at one place, or their fear in being able to say, I want to do this, because we've automatically made that an indictment against us or the other parent because we're not in a good place. Brothers and sisters, we've got the ability to create healthy spaces for our kids if we were committed to a long-term goal of a blended family or a healthy ecosystem. And I'm not here to say that that's easy, but I am here to say that if we lead with courageousness and we put our children first in that litmus, we could do it a lot better. I will tell you that I am much better at that in 2020 than I was in 2018. And I see a possibility for 2021 that I never thought was possible in 2018. And I wish that I would have done this 10 years sooner. I'm ashamed of myself for not doing it earlier. But I recognize as a parent that we never stop growing if we recognize that every single day that we have life is an opportunity. So I hope that that's helpful. I mean, there's so much more that I could talk about. But again, this is one podcast. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all the fathers in my life, to my father, who I lost 7 years ago, to my grandfather, Johnny B. Johnson Sr., who I only knew until I was 7 years old because he checked out early. To my grandfather on my mother's side, Raymond Powell, who I never met because my mother lost him when she was seven, but whose legacy is such a part of my life. To all those brothers who were in my life as surrogate fathers because they were fathers of my friends and they showed up. To David Smith, who just passed away, who I just so remember being a daily part of my life. To Reverend James Thomas, who was my pastor as a child and who was as much a surrogate father to me as a surrogate father could be. To Walter Spencer, my grandfather, who was who my grandmother got remarried to, who my mother never met until she was 18. And because both of my grandfathers were passed away and he had a son who had been killed when he was 18 years old, he would have never had a grandson and I would have never had a grandfather. And I think about all he did in my life. And so I take the time to say thank you to those brothers and so many others that I don't even have the time or space to mention because there's so many ways to be a dad and I celebrate them. And this Journeysy edition is so special, not just because of the brothers that we have had on, but because I've got the opportunity to introduce to you a company that we've just launched called Journeysy. And it really is about celebrating the unique journey of men as they create the legacy for their children. And it really is just it's about creating this community where we are able to show up and talk about the things that we know and ask about the things we want to learn. And in doing this, we created a product called the Journeysy Bag, and it's designed as a bag for dads. And it doesn't matter where you are in the journey. It's sexy. It's a sexy leather bag. So whether you're with the kids on an outing or whether you are on your way to the office or whether it's a weekend excursion, I want you to check it out. But if the bag isn't for you and you're a dad, I still want you to be part of the community because I want us to create these spaces where we're talking to each other and learning from each other. I literally want the Journeysy community to be a dad academy where brothers can come and through conversations teach and learn. And so in this Father's Day, I want to salute every dad that has decided to show up for his Journeysy in whatever way they know how to. I want to celebrate every dad that's doing it with a level of excellence, pushing towards mastery. And I want to encourage every dad that isn't getting it right. Hell, from raggedy to trying, who just in listening to this is saying, man, wait a minute, maybe I can do this differently. Because none of these brothers that I heard today sounded perfect. And damn it, we ain't. But all of us in our imperfection said, how can we do this better? I'm so thankful for my team, for Mo, our producer, for Madison, who's our associate producer, and my baby girl, to our team that allows us to get this podcast to you in a way that makes sense, and to you, the community, that finds it not robbery to listen to us. You all celebrate your dads if you have them. If you don't, lift their names up. If you've got babies, love them. When I think about what I miss most about my father, it's not anything that he bought me. It's not the how great he was at his job. It wasn't how powerful I thought him to be. It was the feel of his beard against my face as he kissed me to go to bed from the time that I was a child until the time that he transitioned to the other space. And so it was his love and it was his touch, his voice that I miss the most. And if we can remember that as we're fathering our own children, yeah, we got to get that bag. And yeah, we got to leave a financial legacy if we can. But the thing that they're going to remember most is our touch, our love, and our voice. Let's make sure we do that, y'all. I'm up out of here. Please check out the other episodes of our podcast. Also check out our Powered By company, Henry Health, if you are interested in going to a whole nother level of self-mastery and therapy. That's what they are there for, and that's how they help power men thrive. I absolutely love y'all, and I pray that you will love somebody, but make sure you love yourself best. We out of here. Happy Father's Day.